kind of time to roll up your sleeves, my friends, because we have a lot of challenges that lie ahead of us over the next 2 years. As my predecessor here noted, there are many things going on, trade-wise, budget-wise, Congress-wise, tax code-wise, all of those things that face us in the coming session. But I would not be totally honest with you if I didn't admit, though, that a little bit after serving for 16 and a half years in the House and having worked my way up through the Ag Committee with your help to get there and your help to stay there, matter of fact, by the same token, it's interesting, too, the nature of the turnover of the body, because in May of 1994, when you first gave me in the old 6th District the opportunity to represent you, I came in a special election, as many of you in this room remember. I was not the last guy on the list, but at number 434 out of 435 on the seniority list, I was close enough to see the knot hole at the end of the line. And now, 16 and a half years later, when the new pins are passed out on Monday, January 5, my number, I believe, will be number 102. That's a huge move in 16 and a half years. My predecessor, Congressman English, very bright, dedicated fellow, a friend of this organization to the core, served for 19 years and managed to become, what, the number 2 subcommittee chairman on the House Agriculture Committee. So the turnover has been incredible. Matter of fact, if you look at the body I'm now about to join in January, of course I get to be chairman, which means not only did I have the confidence of the majority steering committee and of my conference colleagues, but it also means I sit on the majority side of the room. Yeah, 63 of those faces come January will be brand new Republicans. But the more amazing thing than that perhaps might be, out of 435 members of the United States House of Representatives in the old 111th session of Congress, when the new session begins on the 5th of January, 94 of those will be freshmen. Almost one-fourth of the body changed out by your neighbors around the country. And by the way, thank you for not changing me out, but changing out the rest of those guys. And that puts me in the position I am right now. And the best analogy I suppose I can give is the old line that went something about the dog that chased the car every day for years and years, and then finally caught it. What did he do with it? Well, I kind of feel like the dog has caught the car finally. And we'll see what we do with it and how we do that. As we get together today, we are organizing for the new session, trying to decide whether we have 6 subcommittees or 5 subcommittees in the House Agriculture Committee, trying to sort through how many of the new freshmen will be either on my side of the aisle or soon to be ranking member Peterson's side of the aisle, but brand new faces. And I want you to think about that for a moment. The Ag Committee, by history, is a very bipartisan, some might describe it more of the one of the more nonpartisan committees of the House. We tend to march together. We may disagree by commodity title, occasionally. We may disagree from regional perspective, yeah, occasionally. But when it comes time to put that every 5-year farm bill together, we lock arms, we brace up, and we move forward, which is sometimes anymore kind of an exception in the body I work in, but we move together. And that kind of lays out for you, I think, if you'd bear with me for a moment, what to expect over the course of the next 2 years. Remember, the 08 Farm Bill is not set to begin to expire until the end of September 2012. And my soon-to-be ranking member, the gentleman who was chairman when I was ranking member for the last 2 years, Mr. Peterson of Minnesota, was very focused on writing the Farm Bill a year early, beginning the process in a matter of a couple of months. Now, my perspective, you change gavels, you change focus, a little bit of different direction. My perspective is that we need to let, as much as we possibly can, the 2012 Farm Bill run its course through the summer of, the 08 Farm Bill, run its course in the summer of 2012. Now, why is that, you might say? Why not get in a hurry and do it? Well, several perspectives. From a money perspective, you are now about to see a Congress that will be more focused on getting a grip on overall spending than anybody you've seen in any group you've seen in decades. It's going to be a very tight budget experience. That's for everybody. So if you're reauthorizing a program in 2011, if you're asking for new money for something in 2011, you're going to get a big surprise. Because after several years of trillion-dollar federal deficits, The focus in the house is going to be how quick do we get back to balance. And that's going to make the money situation tough. Now, from Ag's perspective, add on to that equation the fact that depending on which economist analysis of how the 08 Farm Bill was put together, and yes, I was a subcommittee ranking member back in 08. I wasn't the chairman, I wasn't the ranking member. Approximately $8 to $10 billion of things done in the 08 Farm Bill were done with one-time money, done by shifting resources in the future. They have no baseline. And in Congress, under the 1974 Budget Act, and I'm getting you too far into the weeds, I know, this concept of baseline means a permanent, reoccurring stream of money for something. That's the best way to sum it up in a hurry. But between $8 and $10 billion of various programs in the Farm Bill don't have that permanent, reoccurring stream. So if you want to do in 2012 what we did in 08 and nothing else, you've got to come up with about $8 or $10 billion new dollars to keep it moving forward. And that's before the budget choppers come after us like every other program. So we need for the economy to improve so that the federal government's predictions about what will be available to spend in future years improve. We need a year to look at everything in the Farm Bill to determine what's worked successfully in the expenditures, perhaps what hasn't worked, and what kind of allocation decisions should be made in 2012. You've heard the famous phrase, zero-based budgeting or appropriating. Think of it as zero-based authorizing from the Ag Committee's perspective. Everything has to be under the scrutiny of the process. Now back for a moment to that huge freshman class on the House Agriculture Committee. As I mentioned earlier, most members have an understanding, a perspective of their commodity group, the issues they care about as farmers and ranchers, or at least within their region, they understand the kind of agriculture it's practiced. But let's face it, this is a great big country, and the Comprehensive Farm Bill is a massive piece of legislation that touches not just the things near and dear to my heart, wink, wink, nod, nod, but a variety of other things too. So I need a year to help bring these brand new shiny faces up to speed about what's in the Farm Bill, why there is a Farm Bill, and what the impact, both short-term and long-term, is of crafting a Farm Bill. So I've got to have a year to bring my puppies up to speed. I've got to have a year to make sure that we are that cohesive team we've always been in the past on the full committee. I've got to have a year to figure out and to bring my members with me to figure out how the money's spent, where it should be, where it could be spent better, so that when we get around to receiving the magic budget number from the Appropriations Committee and leadership in 2012, that we can make the decisions and make them well. And craft a Farm Bill in my idealistic goal, yes, that would be in law. Now, you're going to laugh when I say this, because I'm not sure this has happened in my lifetime. Maybe someone in this room has been there. But I'd actually like to have a 2012 Farm Bill signed so that when you put the wheat drill in the field in the fall of 12, you know what's going on. It's possible. It's doable. Just because it hasn't happened in a while. And oh, by the way, if you put a Farm Bill on the president's desk in July of 2012, I believe that's called a presidential election year. It might be easier to get a good bill signed into law if somebody's about to go out to the countryside to see the folks, as we would say in Roger Mills County. Don't know that we'll ever get one signed in a second term by anybody again. And by the way, if you remember in the previous administration, they signed the 02 Farm Bill right before re-election in 04, chose not to sign the second Farm Bill in 2008, which, by the way, I was proud to be a part of the effort to do the override to make it law above and beyond the president's signature. But I need strategically to put those pieces into play with my colleagues so that we can help the president do the right thing in the summer of or late 2012. Now, that said, you can't write a farm bill by yourself. So think for a moment about the environment we're in. I'm a part of the new majority in the House. The old majority is still in control in the Senate. So you've got a Republican House, Democrat Senate. Now, that's not such a bad thing, my friends. That just means that nobody is going to cram anything through. We have to work it out. We have to come to terms. We have to create something that a majority in both bodies can support. That's a good thing. Because I've been through in the last 16 years, by both sides, a lot of cramming and jamming of legislation. That's not a good process. Ask the 94 of my colleagues who went away last fall on Election Day. But that's where we find ourselves. And oh, by the way, and there's so many nuances of what's coming in this coming year. You remember I mentioned all those freshmen, and I mentioned team building and developing a common understanding and looking at all the budget numbers. There may be an area or two within a half a dozen federal agencies or so that in the course of this spring, the Agriculture Committee will conduct what I would refer to as oversight hearings. There are a few topics down at EPA that I think we all have a mild interest in. Dust rules, to use the common term. Spray rules. Down at USDA, we may talk about gypsum a little bit. A number of areas. And I would tell you that my goal, as the committee works through our oversight of how the Farm Bill is implemented and where the administration may want to go on their own, my standard, quite simply, I think, could be described as whatever the administration would like to do, and this is not regard to who is the administration, but any administration, wherein lies the justification for the rule? Where in federal law do you have the authority to do this? Number two, what's the scientific principle for the rule you're trying to create? Show me real science that justifies the actions that you want to take. And then finally, what's the economic impact? So you've got a place in the federal law that justifies it. So you found somebody who says you can do it scientifically. What's the economic impact on production agriculture and rural America? If it is destructive, if it is so counterproductive that it harms the country more than it helps, then I suspect the committee will encourage such efforts to be stopped. But that's where we're going. That's where we're going. I know that sounds like a lot of things on your plate, a lot of things on our plate. I know that there's much discussion around the country about how to deliver resources. The direct payments, the thing we've done since 1996. Yes, the most WTO-compliant part of the Farm Bill. Or is it crop insurance or some revenue guarantee part of crop insurance? How does that play with WTO? How will that play with the bean counters? How do you craft a proposal that doesn't do well in good years, but if you have a sustained series of losses, either because of weather or price failure, that you wind up without a fig leaf ultimately? That's got to be discussed. That's got to be discussed. All those things are out there in this mix. I've got a bright committee coming in, I think. A very open-minded bunch of people, I think. But we face challenges. Oh, one other side issue. And occasionally it matters to those of us in this room, basically about every time we take a breath. The tax code. I do believe that before this coming week is out, that the majority, the majority of the 2001 and 2003 tax relief items will be extended for 2 years. Income tax rates will not go up. The capital gains rate will not go up. Now, the death tax compromise as it now stands will take us from zero this year to reimposing the code for a 2-year period, cap a top rate of 35%. Yeah, that's better than the old 55% prior to 2001. And in its present form of the compromise, and I hope that's the final document I actually get to vote on at the end of next week, the ability of a spouse, a couple, to move $5 million per person, 10 per couple, to the next generation will be maintained. That's five times better than what we had under the old code 5 years ago, or 10 years ago now. Not perfect, but dramatically better than the present leadership wanted. Now, how do I make this happen? Well, I have a little bit of a challenge, and some of you have heard me talk about this lady before, present Speaker of the United States House until the 5th of January. My chief problem in getting this done is Nancy refuses to accept that she lost the November election. She refuses to. Sooner or later, reality will soak in, and we'll move forward. But my friends, yes, the challenges that face us are there. We'll always have issues with our trade partners and our competitors around the planet, and we'll have to work through that and use policy to try and give our people the fair advantage. We're always going to have struggles with the tax code because we're so capital intensive. It's hard for people not directly involved in agriculture to understand the old basic axioms of ag econ, which is capital intensive, unfortunately willing to take a low rate of return on those assets. So we have to have a lot of assets to try to make a living. We'll always have to deal with the bean counters, the budgeteers, as I like to call them in Congress, who want to cut everything that doesn't affect their free hunting and fishing. Hint, hint, nod, nod. But go after the real commodity programs that make us viable in the face of our world competition. We'll always have to deal with leadership on both sides of the aisle that maybe aren't as close to real America as they should be. We'll always have to deal with an administration, no matter who the administration is, that has a bunch of zealot White House staffers who, there again, may not always understand where their dinner came from. But those challenges aren't new, and they'll continue. We'll work together. You'll work with me, and we will move this process forward. Because what have you heard me say year after year after year after year? The goal of the federal farm bill, the goal of tax policy, the goal of any member of Congress who cares about real America should be not just simply to make it possible for my neighbors back home to survive, but we should have a chance to thrive. We should have a chance to thrive. And I think we can do that. One last thought. Linda Lucas sends you her regards. She's helping the state economy right now as we speak. I'm not comparing my household budget to the federal budget, so don't you dare tell her I ever said that. But she sends her regards. Let's set forth and accomplish good things. Let's work our way through this next farm bill. Let's take the resources that are available to us and let's craft it in a way that's the most efficient and effective. And let's convince the uninformed and the confused that we serve in Congress. And that's why your organization is so important, our organization is so important, is to enlighten members, enlighten staff members, enlighten people back east and around the country that we exist, that we're here. And if we do it together, once again, we won't just survive, we'll thrive. Again, Jimmy, thank you for the opportunity to come visit, come see me in D.C., come to those town meetings, and have an extra biscuit at your next meal. Thank you.
We want to present Congressman Lucas an honorary membership in Oklahoma Wheat Growers. And I paid you $25 dues, and you owe me.
You're a great American, Jimmy. Turn it up you around. Let's get on with it.